My name is Faith Tucker, and I am very excited to be able to share with you the research that I did for my master's in education this past year, or more so, a year or two ago. I'm currently teaching high school physics and astronomy at a Christian high school, but I recently finished my master's in education and was able to do some research that was very near and dear to my heart. And as much research is, mine started out with a problem. And the problem was that the science education community does not know what in the world to do with evangelical Christians. They're very troublesome to the education community. I don't have to tell you that rejection of evolution is pretty widespread in the American public, particularly among evangelicals. What might be surprising to you is that biology teachers themselves are not as uniformly teaching biology in a consensus, scientific consensus way as you might think. Only about 28% of secondary biology teachers teach evolution as is recommended by national standards as a fundamental unifying theme of biology. 13% specifically advocate for creationism or intelligent design. 9% attempt to expose their students equally to all options. And a remarkable 60% of biology teachers are neither strong advocates for evolution nor explicit proponents of some non-scientific alternatives. This might mean that they describe evolution as valid on micro scales but not macro scales, or as merely a theory that has not yet been proven, or as something that they must teach for the test but the students need not actually take seriously. And when you ask them why they teach evolution this way, it's by and large for some sort of either personal or institutional religious beliefs. Either it's because that's their belief about evolution, or they're feeling some pressure from their administration, from their parents, of their students, from the community at large. And the science education community does not know what to do about this because there are these religious influences on science education. And they've tried to just pour more and more data and facts and information on these science teachers, and it's not changing their perceptions of science in general, particularly evolution. And the education community is not quite sure what to do. And so as a first step, I propose that it would be helpful to the education community to understand what these Christian science teachers think about science and how they approach science education in a more nuanced way. We have plenty of large-scale quantitative research about who teaches what, who believes what, but we don't have a lot of small-scale qualitative understanding of what exactly these teachers believe and why. So the research question I began with was, how do science teachers at Christian schools understand the relationship between science and their personal faith, and how does that relationship, that understanding, influence their pedagogy in their classrooms? The goals here was, first of all, to provide a more nuanced qualitative account of specific individual Christian science teachers about what they believe about the nature of science on one hand, the nature of their faith on the other, their relationship between these two. And then to offer insight into how they apply these views in the classroom, how it affects the content, their instructional choices, and ultimately the students' experience in the classroom. And the hope with that would be that more understanding along these lines would create a foundation for a more productive, respectful discourse between the Christian science education community and that of the secular science education community. So the way I did this was I approached a local evangelical Christian school, and four science teachers, actually more than four, but I could only handle four in my data set, were willing to sit down and talk to me and share their in-depth views on these things. So I conducted three interviews with each of the individuals. The first one talked generally about sort of the science side of things, the second one talked generally about the faith side of things, and the third one roughly about the classroom side. And in addition to these interviews, I also did two classroom observations with each of the teachers to see them actually in their element, and as a little bit of a, you know, here's what you say you do, let me actually see you in action and see how those compare. I don't want to spend a lot of time on the conceptual framework, but I did need some sort of organizing framework in which to place the massive amounts of information that each individual is giving me, because they were telling me about their life stories and their family background and their faith journey and lots of things, and you had to find some way to organize it. And essentially the way that I did that is through the general idea of worldview, specifically epistemology. The idea is that I wanted to know what their epistemology was in their faith life, how they saw, how they gained knowledge about their belief system, what they saw as valid ways of knowing God, and what they saw as a valid epistemology in their scientific context, and what did they do if and when those two epistemologies, those two ways of knowing, conflicted with each other, and how did that then influence what they did in the classroom. So epistemology was a big theme in all of our conversations. So the school, a little bit about the school in general. The school was a non-denominational Christian school, grades 6 through 12. Teachers signed a sort of very classic, traditional evangelical statement of faith. The vast majority of students came from Christians' homes and self-identified as Christians, although there is a small but growing population of atheist, Buddhist, and Hindu students as well. The school used to use primarily Christian science textbooks, but they've moved away from that now in the last 10 years or so. And the school has no official statement on science and faith. So the next slide starts getting into these individual teachers, and I want to preface this with the entire point of this research was to provide these in-depth, very nuanced pictures of individuals and their lives and their experience and their thoughts for four people, and a 20-minute talk is woefully insufficient to do that. What was a 100-page document has now been condensed down to four slides. So I'm just going to give you a biographical snapshot of each individual, and I pulled out representative quotes for each individual on some of the key themes. So you obviously won't get the depth that I would have, kind of was the whole point of the project, but hopefully you can kind of get a sense of their general lines of thought. So first up, we have Peter. Peter is the department head. He teaches honors in AP chemistry as well as an epidemiology elective. He's been at the school for a long time. He's one of those like institutions at the school. The kids recognize him. He's intimidating. He wears a leather jacket. The kids are scared of him, but they love him, as is probably true of most chemistry teachers. He grew up, his parents were Christian scientists, that's scientists with a capital S, and were missionaries, and so he grew up in Indonesia and moving around the U.S., but personally never felt particularly attached to Christian science and was essentially atheist throughout his education. He received a PhD in pharmacology and then began working in HIV/AIDS at a research institution before deciding to shift to teaching. And that shift from research to teaching was deeply involved in his sort of dramatic conversion experience that he had. So he moves to, as a new Christian, moves to teaching chemistry at this Christian high school. In fact, I think he was the only science teacher at the school when he began. And his classroom is sort of a classic chemistry lab, lab benches, fume hood. He insists on chalkboards, no whiteboards. And his every inch of his windows and walls are covered with newspaper and magazine clippings of articles and comics about chemistry and epidemiology. It's and bookshelves. It's very, very chemistry. So about the nature of science, Peter says, we have a standardized methodology for arriving at least at what we think is true. It's not much a question of opinion, it's more a question of evidence. It has a unique ability to discover not just truth in an abstract sense, but in terms of practical working knowledge of the universe. Science is really about the process by which you figure out how it works, not so much what it is. His religious epistemology, summarizes this way. He says, you really have to come to an understanding of who Scripture was written to, why it was written, what it's telling them to do, and then what that looks like in our cultural context. There's a huge amount of evidence to back up the reality of Scripture, and you can't deny the difference that it's made in your own life. So these were some of the reasons that he uses to support his own religious beliefs. When asked about the science and religion relationship, he says that science is a way of providing information about the universe and therefore about the God who created it, but this is not really a salvation issue. And in the classroom, he says, in sort of reflecting on, since he's the department head and sort of the science classes as a whole at the school, he says, we start essentially with God did it and we don't know how. There's no weird hidden agenda. There's no you have to believe it this way. And in fact, we pretty much hold that it's really important that we have a pretty broad range of teachers at ECS that span the entire gamut from super hardcore old earth to young earth creationism to evolutionary creationism. So he really values this diversity of perspectives within the classroom. He himself would identify as evolutionary creationism. Next up, we have Teresa. Teresa teaches middle school physical science and girls' health. She's been teaching at the school for about 7 years. Most recently, her youngest of three graduated from the school. She attended an Ivy League college at 16 with intentions to become a doctor, but began teaching math instead as she got married soon after college, and stayed home to teach to raise her kids until she returned to work recently to supplement her husband's pastor salary, as college was getting a little bit expensive. Her room is much more warm and friendly. She's very maternal in her relationship with her students. Along the border of her classroom, she has pictures of every single student that she's ever had pasted on a colored piece of construction paper that the student got to decorate. So she's very, you know, it's a lot more middle school than our AP chemistry classroom is. And this is what Teresa has to say. She says that science has a standard of reproducibility and accuracy and assumes a certain consistency in the behavior of the universe that we're observing. She says we can find a lot of answers through science about what happens, but maybe not the why of it, why things work a certain way. When it comes to scripture, she says that scripture requires study just like any literature or document, and it's incredibly complex to take a part of scripture and then fit it into the whole story of scripture. To say, where does this fit in with the flow of history from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation? And study through the original languages and historical context and what that would have meant to those people in that time. So she's very, very focused on this idea of context and interpreting scripture and the difficulty of cherry-picking different verses. When asked about science and religion, she says, if it's true, it's true, whether it's in the Bible or in science. I don't see any inconsistency between my faith and science, because I think science is giving us a way to discover more and more the how of the way the world works. As a Christian, I believe that God has given us these brains that can figure out this stuff, and how cool is that? That was definitely a resounding theme for her, that God created an ordered world, and he gave us brains capable of understanding that, and that's why science is exciting. In the classroom, she says that among those of us in the science department, we, most of us, react against a kind of artificial or contrived bringing scripture or misapplication of scripture just to get it into the classroom. We believe that the world is complex and that it's created by a complex God, and we get the privilege of exploring it. And all truth is God's truth. So she's reacting against this idea of let's just pull one or two verses, slap them on the front of our textbook, and call it integration of faith into our science classroom. When it comes to evolution, she was a little bit wary to put down positions in too strong. I think she's open to the idea of evolution, but is still a little bit hesitant about exactly how to make sense of Genesis. It's not something that she feels is too compelled to kind of nail down her views on, but she's definitely feels like there's consistency between her faith and her science. And then we have Russell. Russell teaches regular and honors physics and AP physics for individual students who want it. He's been at the school for about 9 years, also the parent of a couple alumni. He grew up in a rural, predominantly Mormon community, but as part of a very conservative Christian family. He told me that to him as a kid, the definition of being a Christian was not being Mormon, which is amusing on many levels. But after a relatively negative experience at his church, he left the faith, went on to study physics, ultimately received his PhD, and during that graduate school process, found his way back to the church. He then spent his career working in R&D at a major computer hardware company, and began teaching recently after retiring. If you need a mental picture of him, imagine that picture of Einstein with his tongue sticking out. Very similar hair, very similar sort of goofy, loves physics, loved to talk about it. He kept me there for hours showing me all of his cool physics demos because I'm a physics teacher too. We love to talk about physics. His room is very orderly. There's oscilloscopes over on one wall and posters about the Big Bang on the other, a patent that he got while working in industry, and a life-size cardboard stormtrooper because no physics room would be complete without that. So he says about the nature of science, he says science is characterized by careful experimentation where you've got all the bases covered and you treat the data with integrity and honesty. I don't think science is designed or has any intention of trying to answer some of those questions of morality and stuff, nor should it. He was very opinionated on many topics. He says, "It's easy to be a dumb Christian who just blindly believes, well, if God said it, it must be true. But I'm a physicist. I'd like to know more. I think my decisions are based primarily on research and evidence and logic, not just emotion." It stuck out to me how closely his self-identity as a scientist and as a physicist informed how he made sense of his faith. That was a theme that came up a lot. When asking about the science and religion relationship, he says, "God wants us to understand his world, which is one of the reasons why Christianity kind of pushed science. He saw Christianity as generally being a positive force and bringing about the scientific enterprise on a sort of historical level, despite some admitted or tension in the past." He says, "The coexistence of religion and science bolsters each other up in the places where one really isn't appropriate." For his students, he says that he hopes they will have the confidence to know that if they don't know something, they can go out and probably teach themselves the rudimentary pieces of it. He says he encourages his students to stop and smell the roses and appreciate the elegance of what we're doing and to see the connection between God and science. For Russell, one of these big themes was the elegance and simplicity of science and that points towards a creator God. It was of note to me that Russell is a pretty devout old earth creationist. He's incredibly skeptical of evolution, made many comments about, I'm not one of those people who thinks we came from monkeys. That is of note. And then, last but not least, we have Matt. Matt teaches regular biology. He's been at the school for 3 years. He grew up in a very conservative evangelical Christian home in Texas, where he was taught and ascribed to young earth creationism while studying biology in college. But his study of biology led him to have a little bit of uncertainty about his young earth views. After college, he went and worked in an outdoor education Christian camp before attending an interdenominational seminary where he received his master's in divinity. And it was while working on his MDiv that he started taking classes. He was feeling this tension between ministry and theology and science, so he was taking lots of classes on theology and science. And it was while he was there that he became very convinced of evolutionary creationism and has become a big proponent of that perspective. Now he's passionate about overcoming anti-science views within the Christian community. And to that end, he started a number of faculty discussion groups about evolution with limited success at this particular school, but he's still trying to get some momentum going. But he is sort of your quintessential young, enthusiastic teacher that the students really enjoy. There was definitely he did a starfish dance trying to show how starfish move, and it was a big hit with this class, so he's kind of the young, cool teacher. So Matt says that the nature of science is employing the powers of observation and of experiment to try to learn something about what God has done. Some of these deeper questions of meaning and significance and purpose in life are beyond the scientific method and scientific inquiry. About religious epistemology, he says that scriptural interpretation starts with the context of scripture. Who really wrote this? Who were they writing to? Who was hearing this? What circumstances were going on? And what was God saying at the time? We can't begin to apply it to ourselves until we answer that question first. In regards to the science and religion relationship, he says, when we explain something using science, it's not like we're taking something away from God. We're gaining knowledge of how God did it. They're both important, both science and religion, and they're both engaging really important questions in the world around us, but they're engaging different questions. And lastly, he says, I try to expose the students to the idea that there are lots of Christians currently and historically who have had different ideas and different opinions about God's role in creation. But the unifying theme is that all Christians think that God is the creator. And that's really what he hammers home for his students, is there's room for a diversity of opinions within the Christian church. What binds us together is our belief in God as creator. And I see I'm running out of time, which is not surprising. I hesitate to make any generalizations from a sample size of 4, but a few things that I picked up. There are many similarities among these faculty in regard to their hermeneutics, their belief in the consistency of their science and faith, and their desire for students to integrate their faith with their science. But there are also many differences, their views on biological origins, the nuance of their understanding of the nature of science, and the extent to which they engaged in questions of faith in the classroom. They also had very different instructional goals, which determined what they actually did in their classroom. And you'll notice that none of them really had content wasn't a big goal for them. They wanted, some wanted critical thinking skills. Matt was all about this sort of open-mindedness within the Christian community. So they had different goals depending on their strengths as a teacher, the student's level and capacity, and the school's values. And lastly, not surprisingly, an individual's teacher's views on science and faith and the relationship between the two are indeed highly contextualized based on their family background, teachers and pastors in their lives, their educational background, church context, and a million other variables. And so these sort of oversimplified categories that science educators want to slap onto Christians simply don't represent the depth and variety of these teachers' views on things. And so I think a productive conversation begins with an empathetic understanding of the teachers' views and their instructional goals. So lastly, I just want to say that the hope is that when the science education community has a more empathetic and nuanced understanding of the nature and content of these teachers' views on science and faith, that will enable them to engage in more meaningful dialogue about science education best practices, provide more effective teacher training and professional development, and ultimately to improve the scientific literacy of the rising generation of evangelical Christians while respecting their religious beliefs. And as Christians, I think that this is something that we can all get really excited about, that improving the way we teach science and God's relationship to it in Christian schools is one small step, but I think it's an important piece of healing the church's relationship with science in the future. Thank you.
My question really has to do with something that Gary Kubel in his book has an excellent chapter on how science teachers can be very, very sensitive, learn to be sensitive to people's faith, and realize that this Stephen Jay Gould's concept that has been embraced by so many that they're completely separate domains doesn't work because Christian young people have such an important part of their lives that it has to somehow fit in a meaningful way that doesn't conflict. That, you know, it's not going to work just by trying to keep them separate. And so what I appreciate about your talk is that you're emphasizing that that science teachers need to be sensitive to the fact that people are basically religious and that they need to know that this science doesn't have to conflict. But it, nonetheless, there will be conflicts there. There will be conflicts with some interpretations of Scripture. And so how do you sensitively deal with the fact that there are conflicts when certain interpretations?
I think, I mean, you're absolutely right that there's this, the Gould idea of noma, non-overlapping magisterium, just doesn't work, especially for these students. And it's, so this topic is particularly personal to me because I went to all Christian schools up through high school and went to a school where I was not taught evolution. I was told I shouldn't believe it, but I didn't know what it was till I got to college and wanted to study science and realized maybe I should know what this thing is so at least I can participate in class discussions. How we deal with science in Christian schools, I think, is very important. In a Christian context, you can very explicitly, like these teachers did, engage the students in this conversation of how their science and faith does this. Matt, I didn't get to go into this in detail, but Matt, the biology teacher, I loved his unit on evolution. Essentially what he did was he began with this articulating, first and foremost, Christians believe that God is creator, period. That is what makes us Christian. How God did that, let's discuss. There's different viewpoints within the Christian community, and that's okay. And then he had them read different representative articles from Young Earth, Old Earth, Progressive, and evolutionary creationists, and had the students kind of reflect on the strength of the arguments for each of them. They went through the scientific evidence for evolution, and then the students had to develop an interview that they then did with their parents and asked their parents their views on evolution, some of the things that they were learning in class, and then came back and reflected on that interview. And I thought that was a really sensitive way of giving the parents still this the parental status of, you know, getting to be the primary educator, both spiritually and educationally, but also giving them the opportunity to hear some different ideas. So sensitivity, I think, is hugely important. How you do that in a public school is a totally different question.
Yeah, go ahead. Did you? Go ahead.
I missed the very last phrase that you said, whether how that happened in, did you say in public schools?
In public schools, yeah.
Okay, that was going to be my question, because I feel these teachers are, for the most part, super thoughtful. And
yeah.
They really are. In public school, then you can't say anything about that or really address those issues. I mean, that seems like a major problem, and I get it, but where we are in this country, what are you recommend?
Yeah. I personally don't have any context teaching in public schools, so I'll hesitate to speak too much of that. I have taught at secular schools, and not biology. My background is in physics and astronomy, but at least with the cosmology conversation, I think there's space for teachers to recognize that there's a high likelihood that there will be religious students in their classroom. And I think it's appropriate to say, I recognize that some of the topics that we're discussing might be, present some discomfort or tension with some of your religious beliefs, and I'm willing to discuss that with you. I think that that's an appropriate line. You're not advocating for any particular view, but you're recognizing, to your students that, yes, it's okay that you feel tension here, and it's something that you should talk about. I did my best to navigate the line of letting my students having the openness with my students to let them know that I was a Christian without doing it in a professionally inappropriate way, so that I was able at the secular school I taught at to have some conversations about science and faith with students who came to me and self-identified as Christian. I think the big hurdle is there's the Christian teachers who are teaching a inaccurate understanding of evolution to their students, and sort of what do we do about that, which is kind of the problem I was referencing. And then there's the non-Christian teachers who are teaching sort of scientific evolution, but in a way that's really undermining Christian kids' faith. And what we do about that, I mean, that's teacher training for religious sensitivity, which, good luck.
Okay, I think we've got time for one more quick question since I'm deliberately running a little bit late. If not,
all right.
Gerard, you ready?
Thank you.
Our next speaker is Gerard Mintz.